This message, entitled Faithfulness, was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on January 28, 2018, by the Reverend Roy D. Warren, Jr. The scripture reference is Lamentations 3, 21-27.
This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Amen? You hear that, kids? It's good that you come to know Jesus when you're young. Amen? A lot of people think, oh, you got time for that. How many times have you invited people to church and they said, well, maybe later when the kids get older or something like that, you know? Yeah, well. They are new every morning, and great is Thy faithfulness. Glory to God. Praise the name of Jesus. Father, we know that You are leading us on a journey in this time of Epiphany. We know, Lord, that You are causing us, dear God, to take one step and then the next, and to discover the various character traits or characteristics of our God. And at the same time, to know for a fact that these are also the same character traits, dear God, that we find in God the Son. And because we have our God living within us by the power of a Holy Spirit, then we are to also have these traits. So I want to thank You, Lord, for once again, dear God, a coming together to see these things. Help us, Lord. Keep our eyes on Jesus today, but in the coming days as well. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. We've been looking at the different... Oh, there's hundreds of them. So, there's no way we're going to be looking at everything. But I think there are some key ones that are so important. Remember, we started with love. And that was kind of the basic one. The foundational one. Praise God. Amen. And then we noticed in our reading even today that mercy was brought up again. And then we'll just see where the Lord leads in the next couple of weeks. Faithfulness. This one is crucial too. Well, they all are. You see, if God all of a sudden decides not to be one of these things, then He ceases to be God. So that ain't going to happen. Amen? That's not going to happen. Praise the name of Jesus. You can trust in Him for that. There are other character traits that go along with some of the things we've been talking about, like justice and judgment go along with mercy. And you can talk about some of these different traits really all at the same time. So we're covering more than you think. Maybe. Amen? But this one is faithfulness. And this is a crucial one as well. Faithfulness. Story is told of community orchestra that had been rehearsing for months on end for the big July 4th celebration. Now that's a hard one to wrap your mind on, you know, when it's in the middle of winter. But the 4th of July, they're going to have this big concert, this orchestra. Finally, on the evening of July 3rd, the night before, the final rehearsal was being held. And right in the middle of that rehearsal, the celebrity guest conductor announced that a special award, that's what he called it, a special award was to be presented to Mr. Isaac Schoen. I'm guessing he's German, because that's a German word right there. Mr. Isaac Schoen. First trumpet. For a record of perfect attendance at the rehearsals. Didn't skip a one. Perfect attendance. I know, he says, many of you have worked hard on this special concert, the conductor told them all, but no one has had a perfect attendance and worked so diligently as Mr. Schoen. Let's hear it for his faithfulness. And all of a sudden, you know, applause, you know. I was going to go ahead and have you join me in that, but I thought I might get too big of a head. So we're not doing that, okay? But the big thunderous applause, right? Besides, I haven't done anything yet to clap at. But just wait a minute. With that, a deafening roar of applause echoed in the amphitheater for the very popular trumpet player. Would you care to say a few words, sir? The eminent conductor asked the faithful Mr. Schoen. He said, why, thank you. I thought my attendance was the least I could do, especially since I will not be able to be here for tomorrow's concert. Guys don't take clues real well, do you? I thought that was pretty good, but boy, isn't that true. Faithful, but not to the end. True commitment means going all the way. God is first. Everything else comes after that. I suppose one of the most famous scriptures, probably in the Bible, but I'll just say for now in the Old Testament, speaking of faithfulness, because we're looking first of all to see if our God is faithful. All right, the Father comes to us by the prophet Jeremiah. And that's Lamentations chapter 3. So if you are still there, then we'll go ahead and take a look at this for just a couple of moments. I'll start with verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. This consume means to be complete in either good or the bad sense. To be done in. Kaput. Finished. But it can be in a good sense and it could be in a bad sense. You know, used up. Completed. Done. In the Old Testament. It's similar to the word that talks about perfection in the New Testament. And I'll show you that probably a little bit later. All right? But it says here that his compassions, they fail not. Now his compassions are talking about his love and his fondness of us. Amen? Do you see how the different characteristics are coming in? On faithfulness, we're hearing about mercy. We're hearing about, you know, love. And you know, it's bringing everything together. They are new every morning. They are new. Now, I really want to share this definition because I think it's so crucial. New does not mean to be renewed. You know what renew is? It's you take your car over, it's a mess, you get it detailed. Right? They go over it and they look for every speck of dust. And they clean it all up and they scrub it and they got... There's one place that advertises. I heard them on the radio one Saturday morning. And they got all kinds of high-tech stuff that that cleans the car up. Gets rid of all of the dust. And of course, it's for a pretty penny. They don't say how much. They want you to come in and see what they got first. And then they'll tell you maybe how much. Probably after they do it. Anyway, new does not mean renewed. Does not mean detailed. It also doesn't mean restored. You know, you take an old car and, you know, you go ahead and you go over it, get rid of all the rust, you paint it. I did that one time when we lived in at Westminster Highlands. Our very first car was a 1971 Pinto. Rusted out on the showroom floor. I hear that's an old joke, so I thought I'd use it. And I'm telling you, within a couple of years, it was gone. And so I took it down to this big work area they had there, the shed, and I sanded the whole thing down, you know, and I primed the whole thing, and I, you know, masked all the windows and the mirrors and all this kind of stuff, but I painted the whole thing, and it went from a lime green to a bright yellow. It was pretty cool. It was cool with either color, okay? And not only that, it was a Pinto. It was already cool, just by definition. Praise God. Well, anyway, a month later, the rust started to come back through. Okay? Didn't work out too well. No, it's not, new is not restored. It is not even renewed, as I already said. But new is new. Now see, only God can do that.
Amen?
We restore, we fix up, we detail, we change. We repaint and all the rest of it. And nothing wrong with that, because quite frankly, that's all we can do. When it comes to those kinds of things. You know, get rid of the rust, put some paint on it, and hope for the best. Right? But God can make things new. Oh, what a thrill that would have been if God would have come down in that day and made that 1971 Pinto brand new. So it'd have at least two more years before it rusted out. All right. They are new every morning. Why? Because every day has new circumstances, new situations, new problems, new stuff to deal with, okay? It needs something new every day. Well, guess what it is? It's Jesus. And He's not just restored every day. He's not just renewed every day. He is new. His mercies are new. Praise God. Every morning. And that's morning now too. That's not at night. That's morning. When you first get going on your day. Praise the name of Jesus. Therefore will I hope in Him. I want to go back to the word faithfulness. It's mentioned in verse 23. Great is thy faithfulness. And I want to do a little bit of digging in here. So are you ready? The Hebrew word for faithfulness is emunah. imuna. In the feminine form, it literally refers to a firmness, a moral fidelity. Fidelity, of course, being another word for being faithful. It means to be set in office. It's a done deal. It's set. Established. Stable. Steady. Truly. These are all part of the definition. The male form of the word speaks more directly to trust and trustworthiness. Are you kind of taking all this in? Are you letting it speak to you what this faithfulness is? Stable, steady, firmness, trust, trustworthiness. The root word that this word that's used in Lamentations in verse 23 for faithfulness is the Hebrew word aman. I understand that this word aman has been taken up by a group of people that decided to make large appliances. And I'm serious. Amana. It's a group of people similar, I won't try to really describe them and what they believe, but they're a religious sect or group that started a commune of sorts, okay? And they use the word amana, directly related to the Hebrew aman, which we know better as amen. Stable. Finished. Amen? Trustworthy. So be it, is literally what the word amen in the Old Testament is referring to. To build up and to support. To foster as a parent or a nurse. Figuratively, to render, to be firm or faithful. To trust or believe. To be permanent or quiet. Morally, to be true or certain. To go to the right hand. Where's Ben? Hey Ben, did you know that your name, Benjamin, means son of my right hand? Ben in the Hebrew means son, and then Yamin is right hand. Son of my right hand. Which is a very positive name. Amen? Praise God. That's why Joel has it. That's his middle name. Did you know that, Ben? You knew that? That was Joel's middle name? Yeah, it is. Amen? Therefore, we're talking about, with right-handedness, we're talking about, no offense to anybody that's left-handed, but anybody here left-handed? No, I'll let it go. I'll let it go. There's an old joke about that, you know. And I just mess it up. So, anyway, assurance to bring up, establish, steadfast, of long continuance. Yes, the last definition, fatherly. Amen? Fatherly. Nowhere is there room for I can be there for all the rehearsals, but I won't be there for the concert. I mean, there's a spiritual picture in this, not just rehearsals and concerts. Amen? I mean, I can be there for years and years, but I'm not going all the way with God. That's the same idea. Same thing. There's no place for that. Because all those definitions, they all boil down to fatherly. So when we're talking about great is thy faithfulness, who are we talking about? We're talking about God the Father. Amen. Amen? It's important to know that right now. So you put it together, and we're talking about God the Father's steadfastness towards His children, which will help them to see their need to be steadfast towards Him and the church. Amen? His mercies are not consumed and used up. All gone. Fresh ran out. You don't go to Him one morning and He says, you know, I just gave the last one away yesterday. Doesn't work that way. Amen? Praise God. But look what it says. In verse 25. Well, let's start at verse 24. This is Lamentations 3:24. The Lord is my portion. Okay? Portion means to separate. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. There's the word hope used once again. The Lord is good unto them. Watch this. Who is the Lord good to? It doesn't say anything but this. It says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. The Lord is good unto them who wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. That's the one that can truly expect His merciful touch. Amen? See, it's not about everything else. It's not about the problems that people have or how lousy they feel or whatever it might be. It has to do with they need Jesus. Praise God. And that need for Jesus is new every morning. Amen? Why? Because every morning is new and each one would need a fresh response. You can't live on yesterday's mercy. Oh, people try to do it all the time, but it's not what God's calling for. They are new every morning. Every morning, great is thy faithfulness. They're never, you know, I think it might be that some people think, well, He doesn't have any more for me. He doesn't have any more mercies for me, you know? I mean, it's all used up. No, He says, no, it's not consumed. It's not consumed. His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Amen? Amen? Great is His faithfulness. I'm telling you, that's a fatherly response all the way. Jesus even said so. He said, you know, you fathers who love your children, you don't give them a scorpion when they ask for an egg. Do you ever go through that scripture? I'm not going to do it right now. Go through it sometime. Notice that the two things that Jesus compares look something alike. The egg looks like the scorpion when the scorpion has his tail all up from behind him and up by his head. He's kind of oval looking like an egg. You take a look at that list of, you know, you don't give him this when he asks for this. They're similar looking. Okay? But God knows the difference. Amen? Praise God. It's a fatherly response all the way. Amen? It's not something old and bedraggled, but it's what's needed in that particular moment, in that day. His mercies, they are new every morning. Praise God. Now, in comes the Son. We said we're talking about the Father, but we need to see Jesus the Son. Turn back to Hebrews, please. Hebrews, and it's chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Yeah, I'll pick it up at verse 14. I think that would be good. All right, just a few verses here. We'll take it to 18, to the end of the chapter. Here's 14. Are you ready? This is Hebrews chapter 2. Everybody there? Hebrews chapter 2. Okay. And I'll begin with the 14th verse. I still hear some leaves rustling in the breeze. See the leaves of a book? The pages? Isn't that good? That's an old joke too. The leaves of a book, yeah. All right, verse 14. You know, maybe you shouldn't be talking about old jokes when we're talking about new mercies. Amen. All right, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. And through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels. See, this section of Hebrews is talking about someone who is greater than Moses, somebody superior to the high priest, or to the local, literal high priest, to the other priests, and so forth. He's better, he's greater, he's superior, and that's Jesus. Anyway, verse 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, even greater than angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful. We just can't get away from that word, people. Did you notice that? Whether you're talking about the Father or you're talking about the Son, you can't get away from it. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or help them that are tempted. It behooved him. He allowed himself to become indebted to us to give his life for our sins, obligating. In all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, to be made human, God in the flesh. We're talking about Jesus Christ, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Christ became one with mankind in order to become a high priest and so to represent believers before God. In this ministry that he would have for those 3.5 years, the Son's death propitiates, makes atonement by removing God's wrath against us because of our sins. Paid the penalty. You know, there's a paper, can you hold on just a second?
Yep.
Okay.
It might be in my bag, or it's on the dining room table. I'll share it another time. No, it's not in here. It's on that proverbial table. It keeps hiding stuff, you know?
All right. Anyway, you look it up yourself. It's in the most recent Berean Call. There's a question about, you know, I don't see where it says any place in the Bible where Jesus paid the penalty, you know, for our sin. And he starts right off with the classic answer. He says, well, you don't find the word Trinity in the Bible either. You also don't find the word semi-truck in the Bible. But we know they exist, don't we, Jim?
Sorry, yes.
You see what I'm saying? Lots of things aren't in the Bible. Doesn't mean that, you know, it's being forgotten, like simply the Trinity itself, okay? Penalty is all through the Bible, using different words. So read that for yourself. Pick up the Berean Call. It's only about the yay big, okay? I was going to share it here today, but I might bring it next time. But if you see it, go ahead and read it and take a good look at what it's saying. The Bible is clear on these things. Praise God. Amen? All right. Well, back to the note here. It says, as a result, we can now approach God in confidence. The Son mercifully sympathizes with us when we are tempted and comes to our aid because He, as a human, has experienced suffering, trials, temptations, yet did not sin. So if anyone can show us the way, the direction to go, to not choose sin, it would be Him. Amen? You know, I mean, He didn't come and give His life so we can continue in sin. The idea is to come away from it. Hate it, turn from it, repent of it, and go in the other direction. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Alright. As high priest, He is steadfast towards the Father, because He's serving the Father as high priest. Jesus is. Okay? So He's steadfast towards the Father. He's faithful towards the Father, but also towards each of us. True to God, but also true to man. That's who our Jesus is. Amen. Amen? Now, we need to know that before you get to Lent. Does everybody see that? Because what happens in Lent? We have Jesus, the Son of God, willing to give His life to take away our sin. If we don't know for a fact that's what He did, and it's in our hearts and solid and steadfast, then we're going to be kind of flipping around when it comes to getting to the cross and getting to the empty tomb. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7. It says, the Lord, don't you have to turn there, it's real short. The Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He has watched over your journey. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, watching over your journey. Telling you the next step. Showing you the next step. Giving you the next step. Amen? And the next step is always going to involve presenting Jesus. Amen? Right? Okay? Rob Morgan said, recently I had a letter from a descendant of Solomon Ginsberg. You ever hear of him? Now this is not Justice Ginsberg on the Supreme Court. There might be a relation. Might be, I guess. I didn't look it up. But anyway, he got a letter from a descendant of Solomon Ginsberg looking for more information about his inimitable evangelist of yesteryear. Few know of him today, but his story is incredible. From his birth in 1867 till his death in 1927. Now think about that for a minute. 1867 to 1927. He was born after the Civil War and he died before the Second World War. So he never knew either of those two things. Well, I didn't either. You know what I'm saying? But he lived like a whole life and spanned that time and didn't know either one of those two events. Ginsberg was born to Jewish parents in Poland. He ran away from home when he was age 15. He ended up in London, where he was converted to Christianity by studying Isaiah 53. Isaiah said the Word of God does not return back void. Amen? And he got saved while reading Isaiah 53. When he began witnessing to his Jewish friends, he was assaulted. He was beaten. He was kicked to unconsciousness. That was the first of many attempts on his life, both in Europe and in South America, where he became known as the firebrand of Brazil. That means on fire, by the way. Firebrand. On fire for the Lord in Brazil. In 1912, Ginsberg was traveling from Europe to America. Arriving in Lisbon, Spain, he was about to embark for London when telegrams were posted about storms in the Bay of Biscay, over more, you know, towards the North American continent. He had a stopover ticket. Get this. He had a stopover ticket that allowed him to delay his journey if he wanted to. But it would cost him a week's time in the process. He prayed for guidance, always looking for the Lord's leading, always looking for the Lord to put one foot in front of the other. He turned to the calendar that he used, which was published by the Women's Missionary Union. And the verse for that day, you know what I'm talking about, the calendars have a verse for every day, whether it's a physical calendar on the refrigerator or it's one in your gizzy. The verse for that day was Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He has watched over your journey. Ginsberg felt instant peace in his heart and in his soul. He proceeded to London and then to America. He did not put off his trip. He boarded the Majestic and made his way across the Atlantic Ocean. Only later did he learn that if he had delayed his trip, he would have been a passenger aboard the most famous ocean liner of them all, the Titanic. When God does something, it's a miracle. Amen. Father and son, separately or together, they are the epitome. I'm talking about God the Father and God the Son. They are the epitome of faithfulness, causing us then to be faithful both to God and to His people, the church. No more of this, you know, I'm just going to the rehearsals, but I'm not bothering with the concert. You see, it's all the way, or really, as far as God's concerned, it's no way. If you're not going all the way, then what is the point? Amen? I'm telling you, people need Jesus. I need Jesus. You do. Amen? Everybody out there does. Well, praise God, He's available too. Amen? I try to give Him every week. I think I'm giving Him every week. Amen? Sometimes I think maybe I need to cut back on some things for a bunch of different reasons and maybe not be in the nursing homes anymore or as much or whatever, and then all of a sudden it hits me, they need Jesus. They need Jesus. And I don't know what somebody else is giving them. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, they're going to get Jesus. Amen. Amen? Praise the Lord. If he had put his trip off, just delayed it a week, he would have been on the Titanic. But listen to me. What's the song that the band played on the deck of the Titanic as it was going down? Anybody know? Nearer, my God, to Thee. Amen? Nearer, my God. Many of those people, there were a lot of people that didn't make it through that. Many people in lifeboats, and a lot of people made it, but a lot of people didn't. If they knew Jesus, if they had the Lord, They were with him that fast. Amen? So you can see it both ways, huh? As to which boat he took. But God evidently led him to continue on with his missionary work, on with his ministry. And praise God. A lot of people came to know the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Dear God, we just want to thank you for this day. We know you've given it. We know that you have called us to this time and place. And every one of us could have said, well, you know, I was there last week. I was there the week before. I've been to all of these other so-called rehearsals. I don't need to be there today for the concert. Some people don't think they need the concert or the rehearsals. But God says we do. And so I want to thank you, dear Lord, for showing the way. All we got to do, dear God, is come to where you are. And we will know you even better than we did before. So we thank you for that. We praise your name. We want you to be glorified in these coming days as we live for Jesus. In your name, dear God, will be exalted. You will be glorified. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God.